Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. Chapter 34, Strengthening the Saints Through the Gifts of the Spirit. As a young man, Brigham Young earnestly sought a religion in which all the gifts of the gospel were manifest as recorded in the New Testament. Before his baptism, he received a powerful testimony of the church when the Holy Ghost illuminated his understanding. See Deseret News Weekly, February 9, 1854, page 4. During his first meeting with Joseph Smith in Kirtland, Brigham Young was blessed with the gift of tongues. See Manuscript History of Brigham Young, 1801 to 1844, pages 4 and 5. Although that was a rare occasion in his life, he always rejoiced in the diversity of spiritual gifts poured out on him and the Latter-day Saints. If we have the religion of the Savior, we are entitled to the blessings precisely as they were anciently. Not that all had visions, not that all had dreams, not that all had the gift of tongues or the interpretation of tongues, but every man received according to his capacity and the blessing of the giver. Deseret News Weekly, February 27, 1856, page 3. Teachings of Brigham Young. The Lord gives gifts of the Spirit to strengthen and bless us, our families, and the church. The gifts of the gospel are given to strengthen the faith of the believer. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 161. We are asked if signs follow the believer in our day as in days of old. We answer, they do. The blind see, the lame leap, the deaf hear. The gift of prophecy is manifest, also the gift of healing, the gift of revelation, the gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Jesus said that these signs should follow them that believe. See Mark chapter 16, verse 17. His church and kingdom always have these signs which follow the believer in all ages when the true church is in existence. Deseret News Semi-Weekly, May 19, 1868, page 1. I have already said that Christ set in his church apostles and prophets. He also set in his church evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Also the gifts of the Spirit, such as diverse tongues, healing the sick, discernment of spirits, and various other gifts. Now I would ask the whole world, who has received revelation that the Lord has discontinued these offices and gifts in his church? I have not. I have had revelation that they should be in the church, and that there is no true church without them. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 136. Suppose you obey the ordinances of the gospel and do not speak in tongues today. Never mind that. Suppose you do not have the spirit of prophecy. No matter. Suppose you do not receive any particular gift attended by the rushing of a mighty wind, as on the day of Pentecost. There is not particular necessity that you should. On the day of Pentecost, there was special need for it. It was a peculiarly trying time. Some special and powerful manifestation of the power of the Almighty was necessary to open the eyes of the people and let them know that Jesus has paid the debt, and they had actually crucified him who, by his death, had become the Savior of the world. It required this at that time to convince the people. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 161 and 162. Faith. When you believe the principles of the gospel and attain unto faith, which is a gift of God, he adds more faith, adding faith to faith. He bestows faith upon his creatures as a gift, but his creatures inherently possess the privilege of believing the gospel to be true or false. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 154. The gift of healing. I am here to testify to hundreds of instances of men, women, and children being healed by the power of God through the laying on of hands, and many I have seen raised from the gates of death and brought back from the verge of eternity, and some whose spirits had actually left their bodies returned again. I testify that I have seen the sick healed by the laying on of hands according to the promise of the Savior. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 162. When I lay hands on the sick, I expect the healing power and influence of God to pass through me to the patient and the disease to give way. I do not say that I heal everybody I lay hands on, but many have been healed under my administration. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 162. When we are prepared, when we are holy vessels before the Lord, a stream of power from the Almighty can pass through the tabernacle of the administrator to the system of the patient, and the sick are made whole. The headache, fever, or other disease has to give way. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 162. I am sent for continually, though I only go occasionally, because it is a privilege of every father who is an elder in Israel to have faith to heal his family, just as much so as it is my privilege to have faith to heal my family. And if he does not do it, he is not living up to his privilege. It is just as reasonable for him to ask me to cut his wood and maintain his family. For if he had faith himself, he would save me the trouble of leaving other duties to attend to his request. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 163. If we are sick and ask the Lord to heal us and to do all for us that is necessary to be done, according to my understanding of the gospel of salvation, I might as well ask the Lord to cause my wheat and corn to grow without my plowing the ground and casting in the seed. It appears consistent to me to apply every remedy that comes within the range of my knowledge, and to ask my Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, to sanctify that application to the healing of my body. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 163. But suppose we were traveling in the mountains, and one or two were taken sick, without anything in the world to the shape of healing medicine within our reach. What should we do? According to my faith, ask the Lord Almighty to heal the sick. This is our privilege, when so situated that we cannot get anything to help ourselves. Then the Lord and His servants can do all. But it is my duty to do when I have it in my power. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 163. We lay hands on the sick and wish them to be healed, and pray the Lord to heal them, but we cannot always say that He will. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 162. Prophecy, revelation, and knowledge. Every man and woman may be a revelator and have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, and foresee the mind and will of God concerning them, eschew evil, and choose that which is good. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 131. My knowledge is, if you will follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and His apostles, as recorded in the New Testament, every man and woman will be put in possession of the Holy Ghost. They will know things that are, that will be, and that have been. They will understand things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, things of time and things of eternity, according to their several callings and capacities. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 78 and 79. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 161. Seek diligently to know the will of God. How can you know it? In matters pertaining to yourselves as individuals, you can obtain it directly from the Lord. But in matters pertaining to public affairs of the church, His will is ascertained through the proper channel, and may be known by the general counsel that is given you from the proper source. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 136. If the Lord Almighty should reveal to a high priest or to any other than the head things that are true, or that have been and will be, and show to him the destiny of this people 25 years from now, or a new doctrine that will in 5, 10, or 20 years hence become the doctrine of this church and kingdom, but which has not yet been revealed to this people, and reveal it to him by the same Spirit, the same messenger, the same voice, the same power that gave revelations to Joseph when he was living, it would be a blessing to that high priest or individual. But he must rarely divulge it to a second person on the face of the earth, until God reveals it through the proper source to become the property of the people at large. Therefore, when you hear elders say that God does not reveal through the president of the church that which they know and tell wonderful things, you may generally set it down as a God's truth that the revelation they have had is from the devil and not from God. If they had received things from the proper source, the same power that revealed to them would have shown them that they must keep the things revealed in their own bosoms, and they seldom would have a desire to disclose them to the second person. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 338. Other gifts. The gift of seeing with the natural eyes is just as much a gift as the gift of tongues. The Lord gave that gift, and we can do as we please with regard to seeing. We can use the sight of the eye to the glory of God, or to our own destruction. The gift of communicating one with another is the gift of God, just as much so as the gift of prophecy, of discerning spirits, of tongues, of healing, or any other gift, though sight, taste, and speech are so generally bestowed that they are not considered in the same miraculous light as are those gifts mentioned in the gospel. We can use these gifts and every other gift God has given us to the praise and glory of God, to serve Him, or we can use them to dishonor Him and His cause. These principles are correct in regard to the gifts which we receive for the express purpose of using them, in order that we may endure and be exalted, and that the organization we have received shall not come to an end, but endure to all eternity. By a close application of the gifts bestowed upon us, we can secure to ourselves the resurrection of these bodies that we now possess, that our spirits inhabit, and when they are resurrected, they will be made pure and holy. Then they will endure to all eternity. Deseret News Weekly, August 27, 1956, page 2. Miracles strengthen and confirm the faith of those who love and serve God. Miracles, or these extraordinary manifestations of the power of God, are not for the unbeliever. They are to console the saints, and to strengthen and confirm the faith of those who love, fear, and serve God, and not for outsiders. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 341. You have gathered the idea from me that it is not the miracles that are performed before a person's eyes that convince him that one is of God or of the devil. Yet if the Lord designs that a person should heal the sick, the individual can do so. But is that to convince the wicked that the operator is sent of God? No, it is a blessing on the saints, and the wicked have nothing to do with it. They have no business to hear of it. That is for the saints. It is especially for their benefit and theirs alone. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 340. The gospel plan is so devised that a miracle to make people believe would only be a condemnation to them. When you hear people tell what they have seen, that they have seen great and powerful miracles wrought, and they could not help believing, remember that devils believe and tremble because they cannot help it. See James chapter 2, verse 19. When the voice of the Good Shepherd is heard, the honest in heart believe and receive it. It is good to taste with the inward taste, to see with the inward eyes, and to enjoy with the sensations of the ever-living Spirit. No person, unless he is an adulterer, see Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, will ever require or demand a miracle. In other words, no good, honest person ever will. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 340. Men who have professedly seen the most, known and understood the most in this church, and who have testified in the presence of large congregations in the name of Israel's God that they have seen Jesus, etc., have been the very men who have left this kingdom before others who had to live by faith. See Alma chapter 32, verse 21. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 342. The providences of God are all a miracle to the human family until they understand them. There are no miracles, only to those who are ignorant. A miracle is supposed to be a result without a cause, but there is no such thing. There is a cause for every result we see, and if we see a result without understanding the cause, we call it a miracle. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 339. It is natural for me to believe that if I plow the ground and sow wheat, in the proper season I shall reap a crop of wheat. This is a natural result. It was precisely so with the miracles that Jesus wrought upon the earth. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, see John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, when they had drunk all the wine, they went to the Savior and asked him what they should do. He ordered them to fill up their pots with water, and after having done so, they drew forth of that water and found that it was wine. I believe that was real wine. I do not believe that it was done on the principle that such things are done in these days by wicked men who, by means of what they term psychology, electrobiology, mesmerism, etc., influence men and make them believe that water is wine, and other things of a similar character. The Savior converted the water into wine. He knew how to call the necessary elements together in order to fill the water with the properties of wine. The elements are all around us. We eat, drink, and breathe them. And Jesus, understanding the process of calling them together, performed no miracle except to those who were ignorant of that process. It was the same with the woman who was healed by touching the hem of his garment. See Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. She was healed by faith, but it was no miracle to Jesus. He understood the process, and although he was pressed by the crowd, behind and before and on each side, so that he could scarcely make his way through it, the moment she touched him, he felt virtue leave him and inquired who touched him. This was no miracle to him. He had the issues of life and death in his power. He had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. See John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. This is what he says, and we must believe this if we believe the history of the Savior and the sayings of the apostles recorded in the New Testament. Jesus had this power in and of himself. The Father bequeathed it to him. It was his legacy, and he had the power to lay down his life and take it again. He had the streams and issues of life within him, and when he said, "Live," to individuals, they lived. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 340 and 341. If we have faith to feel that the issues of life and death are in our power, we can say to disease, "Be ye rebuked in the name of Jesus, and let life and health come into the system of this individual from God to counteract this disease." And our faith will bring this by the laying on of hands, by administering the ordinances of the Holy Gospel. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 342. The Holy Ghost unfolds the mysteries of the kingdom to those who seek the best gifts and keep the commandments. What is a mystery? We do not know. It is beyond our comprehension. When we talk about mystery, we talk about eternal obscurity, for that which is known ceases to be a mystery, and all that is known we may know as we progress in the scale of our intelligence. That which is eternally beyond the comprehension of all our intelligence is mystery. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 338 and 339. If we were to examine the subject closely, we should learn that a very scanty portion of the things of the kingdom were ever revealed even to the disciples. If we were prepared to gaze upon the mysteries of the kingdom as they are with God, we should then know that only a very small portion of them has been handed out here and there. God, by His Spirit, has revealed many things to His people, but in almost all cases He has straightway shut up the vision of the mind. He will let His servants gaze upon eternal things for a moment, but straightway the vision is closed, and they are left as they were, that they may learn to act by faith, or, as the Apostle has it, not walking by sight, but by faith. See 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 339. just as fast as you will prove before your God that you are worthy to receive the mysteries, if you please to call them so, of the kingdom of heaven, that you are full of confidence in God, that you will never betray a thing that God tells you, that you will never reveal to your neighbor that which ought not to be revealed, as quick as you prepare to be entrusted with the things of God, there is an eternity of them to bestow upon you. See Alma chapter 26, verse 22. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 93. Now, brethren, preach the things that we verily believe, and when we come to points of doctrine that we do not know, even if we have good reason to believe them, even if our philosophy teaches us they are true, pass them by and teach only to the people that which we do know. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 338. If they will only live up to it, there has already been enough taught the brethren who have lived here for years to prepare them to enter into the straight gate and into New Jerusalem, and be prepared to enjoy the society of the holy angels. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 339. These are the mysteries of the kingdom of God upon the earth, to know how to purify and sanctify our affections, the earth upon which we stand, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the houses in which we dwell, and the cities which we build, that when strangers come into our country, they may feel a hallowed influence and acknowledge a power to which they are strangers. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 339. If you say that you want mysteries, commandments, and revelations, I reply that scarcely a Sabbath passes over your heads, those of you who come here, without your having the revelations of Jesus Christ poured upon you like water on the ground. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 343. Suggestions for study. The Lord gives gifts of the Spirit to strengthen and bless us, our families, and the church. What are the gifts of the Spirit? Why is it important that they be available in the restored Church of Jesus Christ? See also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verses 10 through 26. How can we know when the gifts of the Spirit are being manifest in our lives? How can we use them to bless others? Who is responsible for the discernment of spiritual gifts and their use in the church? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 27, and section 107, verse 18. How does the use of spiritual gifts in a church calling differ from use of those gifts in a personal or family setting? Miracles strengthen and confirm the faith of those who love and serve God. What are miracles? What is their purpose? What does it mean to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and to enjoy with the sensations of the ever-living Spirit? How can miracles confirm our faith and testimonies? Why are the whisperings of the Spirit more convincing than spectacular displays of power? How can we be more attentive to all the miracles in our lives? See also 2 Nephi chapter 27, verse 23, Ether chapter 12, verse 12. The Holy Ghost unfolds the mysteries of the kingdom to those who seek the best gifts and keep the commandments. According to President Young, why does God reveal a very scanty portion of the things of the kingdom? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 78, verses 17 and 18. How can we prove ourselves worthy to receive the mysteries? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 5 through 10. According to President Young, what are the mysteries of the kingdom of God? See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19 through 22. How could a mystery to one person be a plain, simple truth to another? Why is it sometimes tempting to speculate about that which we do not know? President Young said, "Scarcely a Sabbath passes over your heads without your having the revelations of Jesus Christ poured upon you like water on the ground." How can we prepare ourselves to receive those revelations as we receive the sacrament and keep the Sabbath day holy? End of chapter 34, Strengthening the Saints Through the Gifts of the Spirit. from Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young. Chapter 19, The Relief Society and Individual Responsibility. The Female Relief Society of Nauvoo, organized by the Prophet Joseph Smith, was an important means of helping the poor and strengthening the sisters in Nauvoo from 1842 to 1844. Following Joseph's martyrdom, the Relief Society was discontinued for several years. In 1854, prompted by the sisters' work in behalf of the poor, President Brigham Young established relief societies in some wards in Utah. When the United States sent Johnston's army to Utah in 1857, however, ward organizations, including the Relief Society, were again discontinued. In late 1867, President Young decided that the needs of the poor could not be effectively addressed without the sisters being organized. He called on bishops to reestablish relief societies. "Now, bishops, you have smart women for wives. Let them organize female relief societies in the various wards. We have many talented women among us, and we wish their help in this matter. Some may think this is a trifling thing, but it is not. And you will find that the sisters will be the mainspring of the movement. Give them the benefit of your wisdom and experience. Give them your influence, guide, and direct them wisely and well, and they will find rooms for the poor and obtain the means for supporting them 10 times quicker than even the bishop could." Deseret Evening News, December 14, 1867, page 2. Today, the sisters of the Relief Society work together to improve their families and communities and to build the kingdom of God. Teachings of Brigham Young. Relief Society sisters help care for the poor, sick, and afflicted. I have a short sermon for my sisters. I wish you, under the direction of your bishops and wise men, to establish your relief societies and organize yourselves under the direction of your brethren. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 218. Get women of good understanding to be your leaders, and then get counsel from men of understanding, and let your fashions proceed from yourselves, and become acquainted with those noble traits of character which belong to your sex. Deseret News Semi-Weekly, April 28, 1868, page 2. Let a sister appeal for the relief of suffering and poverty, and she is almost sure to be successful, especially if she appeals to those of her own sex. If you take this course, you will relieve the wants of the poor a great deal better than they are now dealt by. Deseret Evening News, December 14, 1867, page 2. I will here say to the Latter-day Saints, if you will feed the poor with a willing heart and ready hand, neither you nor your children will ever be found begging bread. In these things the people are right. They are right in establishing female relief societies, that the hearts of the widow and the orphan may be made glad by the blessings which are so abundantly and so freely poured upon them. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 217. Sisters, do you see any children around your neighborhood, poorly clad and without shoes? If you do, I say to you, female relief societies, pick up these children and relieve their necessities and send them to school. And if you see any young, middle-aged, or old ladies in need, find them something to do that will enable them to sustain themselves. But don't relieve the idle, for relieving those who are able but unwilling to work is ruinous to any community. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 217. Relieve the wants of every individual in need in your neighborhoods. This is in the capacity and in the power of the female relief societies, when it is not in the power of the bishops. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 218. Look to yourselves in your capacity as relief societies in this city and throughout the mountains. Look at your condition. Consider it for yourselves, and decide whether you will go to and learn the influence which you possess, and then wield that influence for doing good, and to relieve the poor among the people. Deseret News Weekly, August 14, 1869, page 2. A record of the doings of all these female relief societies will be kept, and it will be known who were fervent and faithful in carrying out the counsels given them in order to enable them to magnify their high callings here on the earth. Millennial Star, Volume 31, page 269. Sisters who manage their resources wisely can further God's work. I wish to call the attention of our sisters to our relief societies. We are happy to say that many of them have done a great deal. We wish them to continue and progress. In our relief societies, we wish to introduce many improvements. We wish our sisters of experience to teach the young girls not to be so anxious for the gratification of their imaginary wants, but to confine themselves more to their real necessities. Fancy has no bounds. We are too apt to give way to the imagination of our hearts, but if we will be guided by wisdom, our judgment will be corrected, and we will find that we can improve very much. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 218. Ladies, if you are the means of plunging this whole people into debt so as to distress them, will there be anything required of you? I think there will, for you will be judged according to your works. Are not the men as extravagant as the women? Yes, they certainly are, and just as foolish. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 213. A good housekeeper will be saving and economical and teach her children to be good housekeepers and how to take care of everything that is put in their charge. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 213. Let it be your delight that your children do not waste bread and other food. If you have bread to spare, give it to the poor, and see that your children do not destroy it. Do not let them destroy valuable clothing, but put strong, durable cloth upon them, and save where you can, and give it to the gathering of the poor. Deseret News Weekly, May 29, 1861, page 2. We should learn how to take into our possession every blessing and every privilege that God has put within our reach, and know how to use our time, our talents, and all our acts for the advancement of His kingdom upon the earth. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 53. The time we spend here is our life, our substance, our capital, our fortune, and that time should be used profitably. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 217. Now, sisters, if you will consider these things, you will readily see that time is all the capital stock there is on the earth, and you should consider your time golden. It is actually wealth, and if properly used, it brings that which will add to your comfort, convenience, and satisfaction. Let us consider this, and no longer sit with hands folded, wasting time, for it is the duty of every man and of every woman to do all that is possible to promote the kingdom of God on the earth. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 214. Sisters should magnify, promote, and honor the life they now possess. Here are young, middle-aged, and aged women who all have experience according to that which they have passed through. I shall commence by saying to these, my sisters, it is their imperative duty before God, their families, and their brethren, to exercise themselves in the capacity in which they are placed, according to their ability, in order that they may magnify, promote, and honor the life they now possess. Millennial Star, Volume 31, page 267. Let the sisters take care of themselves and make themselves beautiful. And if any of you are so superstitious and ignorant as to say that this is pride, I can say that you are not informed as to the pride which is sinful before the Lord. You are also ignorant as to the excellency of the heavens and of the beauty which dwells in the society of the gods. Were you to see an angel, you would see a beautiful and lovely creature. Make yourselves like angels in goodness and beauty. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 215. Eve was a name or title conferred upon our first mother because she was actually to be the mother of all the human beings who should live upon this earth. I am looking upon a congregation designed to be just such beings. Millennial Star, Volume 31, page 267. Permit me, sisters, to say that we are endowed with the capacity to enjoy and to suffer and to be delighted. Are we delighted with that which is obnoxious? No, but with that which is beautiful and good. Millennial Star, Volume 31, page 267. Study order and cleanliness in your various occupations. Adorn your city and neighborhood. Make your homes lovely, and adorn your hearts with the grace of God. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 200. I can say to the sisters, if you have superior talents, arise and let your light shine. Prove to your neighbors and the community that you are capable of teaching those sisters whom you deem to be ignorant or neglectful. Deseret News Weekly, June 15, 1859, page 2. As I have often told my sisters in the female relief societies, we have sisters here who, if they had the privilege of studying, would make just as good mathematicians or accountants as any man, and we think they ought to have the privilege to study these branches of knowledge that they may develop the powers with which they are endowed. We believe that women are useful not only to sweep houses, wash dishes, make beds, and raise babies, but that they should stand behind the counter, study law or physic, medicine, or become good bookkeepers, and be able to do the business in any counting house, and this to enlarge their sphere of usefulness for the benefit of society at large. Discourses of Brigham Young, pages 216 and 217. The sisters in our female relief societies have done great good. Can you tell the amount of good that the mothers and daughters in Israel are capable of doing? No, it is impossible, and the good they do will follow them to all eternity. Discourses of Brigham Young, page 216. Suggestions for study. Relief Society sisters help care for the poor, sick, and afflicted. What blessing did President Young promise to those who feed the poor with a willing heart and ready hand? What other blessings can come to individuals, families, or the community when we share our resources? Why is it important to do this with a willing heart? Why is it ruinous to any community to give aid to those who are able but not willing to work? Why is work such an important principle? President Young counseled the sisters to relieve the wants of every individual in need in your neighborhoods. What types of needs do people have? What specific needs have you and others observed around you? How can you serve those in need in your family, your ward or branch, or your community? How can Relief Society sisters wield their influence for doing good? When have you seen Relief Society sisters accomplish more together than individual women could alone? How can you support the work of the Relief Society? What blessings have you received through the Relief Society? Sisters who manage their resources wisely can further God's work. President Young counseled Relief Society sisters to teach young girls to satisfy their needs, but not necessarily their wants. How can you tell the difference between imaginary wants and real necessities? How can we learn to be more satisfied with what we have instead of longing for what we do not have? Why is it important to use our resources wisely and economically? How does frugal living by the saints contribute to building up the kingdom of God? How can you use your resources more wisely? President Young referred to time as capital, our fortune, and wealth. Why is time so valuable? How can we make sure we are using our time wisely? Sisters should magnify, promote, and honor the life they now possess. How can we magnify, promote, and honor the life we now possess? How can you contribute order and cleanliness in your various occupations? Why are order and cleanliness important? What does it mean to adorn your hearts with the grace of God? How can Latter-day Saint women make themselves like angels in goodness and beauty? Why is it important for women to develop their talents? What talents can you contribute to the building of the kingdom of God? How can you help advance the kingdom of God through your daily activities? End of chapter 19. The Relief Society and Individual Responsibility, from Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Brigham Young.